In 2 weeks, the Taliban successfully took over the cities of Afghanistan. Before you ask how that happened, let's look at the weird coincidence in the timeline of what China was doing last month. On July 26th, Wang Yi, the foreign minister of China, met with the U.S. Deputy Secretary of State, Wendy Sherman, in Tianjin, China. From the picture, you can see his body language, arrogant-looking, sitting with his leg crossed. On that day, Wang Yi underlined three basic demands as bottom lines that China firmly upholds. First is that the United States must not challenge, slander, or even attempt to subvert the path and system of socialism with Chinese characteristics, meaning that China's hegemony is not going to change. Second is that the United States must not attempt to obstruct or interrupt China's development process, meaning not to interfere with China's One Belt, One Road, and China's infiltration like the Blue, Gold, Yellow Plan. Third is that the United States must not infringe upon China's state sovereignty or even damage China's territorial integrity, meaning Hong Kong, Taiwan, Tibet is not U.S. concern. 2 days later, July 28th, at the same location, Wang Yi meets with the head of the Taliban Political Commission, Balada. Wang Yi also expressed three basics of where China stands. First, China has always respected Afghanistan's sovereignty, independence, and territorial integrity, basically saying China supports the Taliban. Second, the hasty withdrawal of the United States and NATO troops from Afghanistan marks the failure of the U.S. policy towards Afghanistan. Third, Afghanistan must combat the East Turkestan Islamic Movement, the independence group in Xinjiang, basically saying that Afghanistan should not provide help for the Xinjiang independent group. Wang Yi wore a different color tie from the two different meetings. Can that be a hidden message? Look closely at his body language and how he waves at Balada. Wang Yi looked very confident. From a Chinese news website, the Taliban spokesperson stated that the country is for the people and we are serving the country. That looks a lot like what the CCP tells the Chinese people. Now let's come back to the timeline here. On July 29th, China urged its citizens to leave Afghanistan amid a worsening security situation. On the 30th, the Taliban started to sweep through Afghanistan, taking most of its 34 Afghan provincial capitals in the next 9 days. On August 15th, top members of Taliban Military Commission arrived at the presidential palace in Kabul. 19 days, the Taliban did a lot of things since the first meeting with Wang Yi. How the heck did Taliban take over Afghanistan in such a short time? Do they have money and resources? How do they feed their army? US and IMF applied financial squeeze on Taliban, the International Monetary Fund will block more than $400 million in aid. So how's the Taliban gonna last without finance? The whole Afghanistan's grown harrowing. The rest economy comes from mining business. They lack money, food, and water. Taliban has to have backups from someplace. Is that the CCP? Because the friendly diplomacy meeting happening at such a convenient time, if CCP is playing with the fire here by teaming up with the Taliban, where is it going to end? Taliban is not afraid of death. Comparing to people from the army, Taliban is driven by their faith. They don't have a family, they don't have a bottom line. They're not scared of death, but people from the armies, they are. They have a family, they get paid to do the job. So what if Taliban gets greedy? What if they want more than promised? Also, what's the message here to the United States? An ultimatum? Or else they will release the second Pandora box? Because when Wang Yi mentioned opening the first Pandora box on May 29th, 2019, the global pandemic happened and 210 million lives were changed. Now reports are surfacing that COVID-19 can be coming from the Wuhan lab. So does the second Pandora box mean something worse than a man-made virus or an actual war? Or even nuclear war if the United States interfere. But interfere what? I do know that the CCP has a double dragon project. Double dragon meaning Hong Kong and Taiwan. CCP wants to take over Hong Kong and Taiwan. And now Hong Kong is down. Does that mean the CCP is up for the next to take down Taiwan and now warning others to not interfere? Look at what has been happening for the last year. Countries around China has been importing abnormal amount of food and grains. Could that be the CCP's secret location stock up food to prepare for a war with Taiwan? It's still implausible, you think? Well, to understand the CCP, you have to look at their history, see where they come from, and that we have to come to look at the Cultural Revolution and Mao's mental state. In 1950, 1.1 million Chinese army were killed during the Korean War. Mao's son also lost his life there. Since Mao's son died in 1950, everything changed. Mao was anticipating for his son to become his heir, so the news devastated him. According to Mao's psychoanalysis, Mao has long-term constipation and severe sleep disorders. A lot of details about this fact have been publicly reported, but only psychiatrists know that severe sleep disorders are a type of mental illness. Everything to him became upside down. From the slogan, serve the people, he changed to people serve him. From the slogan, be selfless, to everything is selfish. An open secret was ordered by people around Mao that all these young people can no longer show up in Zhongnanhai, the CCP's headquarters, in order to prevent the trigger. But that couldn't stop Mao from turning perverted, turning all the enragement towards people and society. So from 1950 to 1953, Mao established three movements: the ideological transformation of labor, which is to unify thinking only in believing Mao; land reform movement, which centralized the absolute concentration of all land in the hands of the Public Security Bureau; suppression of counter-revolution, which is to kill anyone who doesn't obey. So that's unifying thinking, taking over the land, and taking out anyone who disobeys. Liu Shaoqi, an appointed successor to Mao, not only has many kids alive, but also possesses a threat to Mao. Especially after Joseph Stalin's death in 1953, his successor was also his former colleague, Khrushchev, criticizing him for doing bad things. Mao later did a lot of bad things, such as the Great Leap Forward and the starvation of people. Liu Shaoqi once told him that so many people who starved to death would record these evil deeds in the future history. So Mao was afraid of being criticized, and his solution is to simply launch the Cultural Revolution to defeat all its potential enemy. In August 18, 1966, Mao made a bid to regain control of the CCP. The Red Guards, who responded to his summons, fancied themselves as new revolutionary rebels pledged to eliminate all remnants of the old culture in China. And starting in December 1966, Red Guards started the revolution and cleared all the remnants of the landlords, intellectuals. All of these people were killed by the Red Guards. After that, Mao was worried about the Red Guards. He doesn't trust them at all. He thinks they're the destabilizing factors. Then he started the Uphill to Countryside movement in 1968. 27 million people went down to the countryside. People sleep together in the same bed, living in a collective life. Getting raped by the village chiefs was a norm, men and women. Knowledge city young women forced to marry a countryman. Everyone was sexually deprived. Bestiality became a norm, and a woman getting an abortion was a trend. Morals were all gone. Most of the cultural assets and personal assets were forcibly destroyed. There are 100 things CCP did during the Cultural Revolution. I will read you three stories here. The rest you can find the link down in my description below. In November 1966, more than 200 Red Guards from Beijing in the name of the Central Cultural Revolution Group went to the Confucius Temple in Qufu, Shandong Province. They destroyed more than 1,000 Confucius tombstones and poetry monuments of Confucius temples through the ages, destroyed the Confucius mansion and Confucius forest, dug up graves and used explosives to dig out the graves of the 76th generation of Confucius grandchildren. Confucius temples, cultural relics, and historical sites all over the country were devastated. This was when the Cultural Revolution had just started and all the new embroideries were broken. All these relics suffered devastating blows. All over the countries, there were armies supporting the different rebels and providing all kinds of light and heavy weapons, even gas bombs. The weapons used for the military struggle could have equipped an army of 1 million. The number of deaths across the country due to armed combat rather than normal death reached 300,000 to 500,000 people. This is more than people died in the famous Nanjing Massacre. The biggest battle was the Big Five Fights that took place in Chongqing from July 1967 to October 1968. The two sides dispatched heavy weapons such as warships, artillery, tanks, and officials announced the death of 1,737 people. According to civil statistics, the death toll is more than 20,000. Another event that happened in Guangxi, where people were murdered and cannibalized. During the Cultural Revolution, the official death toll of mass killings in Guangxi was 100,000 to 150,000 people, murdered and beheaded. Under non-famine conditions, mass cannibalism occurred in many places, such as stone pelting, flooding, disemboweling, heart and liver digging, and dynamite explosions. 421 people were eaten, as revealed by private investigations. In the incident, there were at least thousands of people who participated in feeding on other people's corpses. The coolest thing was that people started to eat others alive. They take the core and eat the liver. And some people ate female breasts, use male genitals to make wine. On April 11, 1970, Han Zhongbing, a 16-year-old youth from Guzheng County, Anhui Province, reported that his mother, Fan Zhongmou, had spoken disrespectfully of Mao Zedong and wrote that Fan Zhongmou should be shot. His mother was sentenced to death. While his mother was sentenced to death, his son watched from the sidelines. What happened to the Chinese people was far worse than any massacre in the world. At least 100 million lives were killed by Mao's movement. It all started with Mao's loss of his son. Growing up in China, I learned that my parents and grandparents don't like to talk about unpleasant memories. Man doesn't like to express emotions, and crying in public was seen as shameful behavior. It looks like the whole society has the inability to mourn. Thomas Plankers, a psychoanalyst on the psychic legacy of the Cultural Revolution, says that Chinese today are living with the psychic consequences of the Cultural Revolution. Even though it's been half a century, people moved on, but the psychic consequences don't stop with one generation. They stay around somewhere in the culture and go into the second, third, and fourth generation. In Chinese culture, the resolution is that people don't continue to look into the cause of a problem. When it's over, they want to move on without looking back. But throughout German history, we know that this will only create atrocities. What Chinese people need is to be able to honestly, critically talk about what happened during the Cultural Revolution to prevent it from happening again. China now is like those Eastern European communist societies that there's a diffuse feeling. A sense that there is an inner totalitarian power that can threaten one and one has to submit to it. And it produces an intellectual atmosphere that orders people not to ask questions. The result? People will have a very high pressure of getting to succeed. They hope that with success, they can protect themselves from the arbitrariness of the rulers. They strive like this to avoid becoming helpless objects. This obsession with success is a fearful way to live, but this is just a way of avoiding the problem. There's a lot of us Chinese to conquer psychologically in order to provide a better, safer, less toxic environment for our next generation. But what does it mean for the rest of the world? It means that the CCP today is still heavily influenced by the residue from the Cultural Revolution. It is a running cycle until we face it. She was also one of the 27 million people that went down to the countryside. Getting unimaginably abused like that as a teenager, and every decision he made was influenced by that. Just like Mao, he lost his son, then he took everybody else down, suffers with him. The CCP's goal is to take over the world. They are on their plan. With heavily influenced by the Cultural Revolution, teaming up with the Taliban, we've seen what happened with Hong Kong and Xinjiang. Taiwan might be the next. Eventually, it will be the United States. Are you going to be like the Chinese people? Forget what happened to them and only look at the future? Don't question as long as it doesn't affect you until when you realize you're one of us, but then that'll be too late already?